Hey, this is James Ortolani with Wilflex Inks.
Tyler Dummett with Workhorse Products.
Dave with Dick Clark Associates.
Alan Howe with Soddy Chem.
You're listening to the Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Hosted by Aaron Montgomery and Terry Combs.
Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome to the show today. It's Friday, October 20th, 2017. I'm Terry Combs with Equipment Zone, and you can also find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me at aaronmontgomery.info. Today, we're welcoming to the show for the first time Ted Stalls with Group Stalls Company. Ted's going to be sharing some new products that were introduced at sneak peeks at SGIA, I guess would be the more appropriate thing there in New Orleans. And thanks to Ted for giving the Two Regular Guys a sneak peek of those things. And we're going to talk about that and just get some innovation stuff covered as we go through some great questions and hopefully just a wonderful conversation we're going to have with Ted here. So I'm real excited about that, Terry. But before we get to that, what's the news items that are coming across your desk?
You know, Aaron, we talked last week a little bit about some innovation in trade shows and changing things up a little bit, you know, going from some three-day shows to two-day shows, that sort of thing. ISS has announced something kind of interesting that I'm looking forward to. It's they're going to do a sort of a TED Talk type presentation at Long Beach, and they're going to be 15 to 20 minutes, no PowerPoint, just you surrounded by the audience. And I think it's kind of a new approach to sharing information based on the way people get information today, you know, via the internet, that sort of thing. And so I think it's kind of an interesting concept, and I'm looking forward to doing it. And I don't know, Aaron, if you're planning on signing up for that, but I think we've got till next Friday to put our ideas in. If anybody's interested in that, you can find out about it at ISS.com. And Aaron, how about you? Any news items?
Yeah, there's definitely some things. I think that's interesting about the ISS. It's ISSshows.com, actually, Terry, just to...
No, you are correct.
Correct me, so it's my turn today. But that's cool. I think we're going to definitely see a lot more of that. That's kind of the theory and what they're trying to do with ThreatX as well. So be interesting to see how that kind of approach. You know, you've got NBMs going to two-day shows, so apparently our attention spans are getting smaller and smaller, and so we digest information differently than we did, you know, 10 years ago. So,
but you know, you're just going to take me 15 minutes to introduce myself, you know me. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, people like you are definitely going to struggle. No. All right. So the news piece that stood out to me that came across is Hanes announced the acquisition of Alternative Apparel. The announcement comes as the company releases its preliminary third quarter 2017 results. Hanes says it has purchased Georgia-based Alternative Apparel through an all-cash transaction valued at roughly $60 million. Alternative Project's full-year net sales of approximately $70 million. So lots of consolidation still happening, throughout our industry.
Yeah, just thinking the exact same thing. And we were just talking a couple of weeks ago about that whole concept. And here's yet a little more. Hey, Aaron, before we go on, though, I wanted to do a shout out to Nathan Leber. And Nathan, hopefully I'm saying your last name correctly. Nathan's a longtime listener. He reached out to us via email. I actually met Nathan last year in Long Beach. He came up to my booth and introduced himself. And I just wanted to say we love to hear from our listeners. And through social media or in person at trade shows, things like that. We've certainly, Aaron, you and I have met some folks, even in seminars, that are regular listeners to the show. Aaron, I, as an aside, I had a customer say to me, well, now I know you're going to be at a trade show next week because, you know, I follow your travel exploits on Two Regular Guys every week. So it's kind of, I thought that was very interesting and kind of fun to hear. But I do want to say before we get to the meat of the show, we want to remind everybody that we are the first and most listened to decorating podcast on the planet. And we would appreciate you sharing us with your friends via social media, and also help us out by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you're listening right now. At the end of the show, jump up there and give a little review. And we I know we have
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners, and we'd love to see hundreds of reviews up there.
Absolutely. And again, yes, thanks for listening. We're really pleased to bring you this weekly podcast without major rants, lecturing, or selling. We'd love for you to visit our webpage at tworegularguys.com. That's the number tworegularguys.com to check out our show notes from previous podcasts. And there's lots of great links and additional information. Plus, also a great place for you to suggest some topics you'd like to hear more about. Most of our shows do come about by listener suggestions. And if you don't want to head over to our website, no problem. Just find us on social media. The Two Regular Guys there. Again, number Two Regular Guys. You can find us on almost all the major social media channels. And let's keep the communication going, even when you're not listening in. And I'd love to have that interaction with you. So let's take a brief pause here real quick before we get to Ted. I'm pretty excited about it, but let's hear about SGA ThreadX real quick, and then we'll come back and get Ted on here.
Connected, empowered, inspired.
That's you after ThreadX, powered by SGIA in Palm Springs, California, February 25th through the 28th, 2018. This new event, designed by and for garment decorators, explores not just how to sell products, but how to get noticed.
The focus is on marketing, branding, and consumer trends in this omni-channel retail age.
Join the Two Regular Guys to satisfy your appetite for actionable inspiration with speakers including Johnny Cupcakes, Tim Williams of the YR Store, and many more. This is a must-attend event if you plan on seeing your company into the future. Plan on attending ThreadX, powered by SGIA, in Palm Springs, California, February 25th through the 28th, 2018. Go to ThreadX18.com for more details and to register.
We can't wait to see you there.
All right. Well, thanks to SGIA and especially for sponsoring this podcast, the official podcast of SGIA, through the year 2018. So, Aaron, are we ready to bring on our guest?
I think we are. Let me introduce Ted to you here. For those of you that don't know him, if you've been under a rock, but Ted Stahl is the executive chairman of the board of Group Stahls, a family-owned international group of companies dedicated to providing a wide range of alternatives in garment decoration, specializing in heat-printed methods. Ted is a well-known industry veteran with more than 44 years of experience in all aspects of apparel graphics, from manufacturing and marketing to product design and retail operations. Highly regarded by his peers as an industry pioneer, visionary, and influential person in the decoration industry, he was ranked number one on Stitch's Magazine Power 75 list in 2013. In 2010, Ted was inducted into the National Sporting Goods Association Hall of Fame. Ted has been awarded many patents for innovation in the world of garment decorating, including thermofilm, the world's most popular material for numbers and letterings, and the revolutionary Hotronics heat press. The best-selling Hotronics Fusion is the world's first touchscreen heat press designed as a combination swinger and draw press. Ted, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, you know, Ted, I know you've been in the industry for 44 years, but Stahls, as we all know it, has been around for 85 years, and this is your 85th anniversary. So, first of all, congratulations on that from the Two Regular Guys. But, Ted, give us a little rundown of Stahls over those many years, and tell us about your personal journey.
Thank you for the congratulations. What could I say? It's been an extremely fun ride, and I really believe we've been blessed with the industry we're in, with finding some very talented people and some very interesting customers. But when we do an orientation for all new staff members, no matter where they're located, and part of that orientation is a little thing about what my brother and myself learned from our parents. And it's a book that we printed up. But on the cover of it is a picture of an old kick press. And it's in our lobby in Sterling Heights. And it has next to it an invoice. It's dated November 1932, and it had, I believe it's $18, a dollar, the next line has a dollar deposit. A couple weeks later is another dollar and a half deposit. And that kick press was what my mother, well, my father was in Marines over in the Pacific, started the business with. And we sprayed it gold. But anytime I want to think about how far we've come, I just have to look at that kick press. And it's when you see a dollar deposit, it really becomes quite humbling. It reminds you of your real roots. But going further than that, my parents were quite active in developing thermal adhesives. And I can remember in an attic of a building we had, they'd be up there in the summer heat because that was the best time at night to put the adhesives on. But it was a homemade extruder for laying adhesive on twill and felt. And that was really part of the, it was a lot of work for them. And I have to give a lot of credit to our parents for my mother's perseverance when times were bad and my father's innovations. So when I said times were bad, there were some weeks where the income was 30 cents. So we had a big garden, and my brother and I did a lot of weeding. But if you go out there with a salt shaker, it was probably very memorable and probably some of the best times of our lives.
So Ted, was that when you decided you want to get into vinyl, is when you were weeding and thought that, hey, weeding's not so bad?
Oh, a part of it that came on later. But developed thermofilm was really the next innovation and was really the innovation that put us on the map. That was in the mid-70s, and in essence, it's still one of the number one products in the world for numbering sports uniforms. And then we had converted much later that into a CAD cut material. But back then, there's a lot of trade shows, but our backbone was really applying samples for customers so they could stretch them and feel them. But trying to convince people that this thin, free-form urethane and polyester combination was really going to stick onto like the mesh football uniforms they used to have. And it was a hard sell, but we kept at it and we're persistent, and it kept growing. You know, when I talk about trade shows, how many people remember Roach and that time when Farrah Fawcett and whole right. industry was just exploding? Anybody with could buy some transfers, two sawhorses, a piece of plywood, a cigar box for their cash, and open up a T-shirt business. And there were literally hundreds of companies making transfers. And the trade shows at that time were really equally as interesting because we were all in the same boat we were in the sports business more, but we were trying to break into the T-shirt business with our lettering. But even though we were competitors, we were also sharing rooms to save a dime. And there's a lot of funny stories, but one of them, I remember getting up in the morning and putting on some shoes, and I had, when I got to the show, I realized I had one black one and one brown one, and I had to go around the show looking to see who else had a brown shoe and a black shoe, and That was, I remember finding him, and it was Jay Turkle, I think, at that time, and he had his feet under a box in front of him, and I went by the first time, I didn't notice it, but anyway, we finally changed shoes, and we got back into the right ones. The other, there's, I think it was the second show Impressions had in Atlantic City. I remember the booth came late, and the trade shows at that point in time were just jam-packed with people. And our booth came late, and the customers helped us set it up. That was also the same show where my wife Mary and I got engaged. That was in the 80s, I believe.
Awesome.
But anyway, it's been a lot of fun and a multitude of experiences and all the people and all the screen printers and all of that. Along the way, a little before that, I had left Stalls and went to college and did everything from sell diamonds to open up 4 retail stores. And I think that was one of the major things that gave me personally an understanding of marketing, what customers want, and the ability to look from the customer's standpoint back at ourselves. That's an extremely hard thing to teach people. But also along the way, when I rejoined Stalls, it's a small business, so you have to be able to do everything from when something goes down, you got to fix it, from pneumatics, hydraulics, be an electrician, and, of course, cleaning toilets. So we've always tried to stay in that and work along side our staff members so they understand we're there with them. And I've always had a true, what do you want to call it, just a sense of responsibility to the people that fill the orders and cut the material and make the materials. So that's always kept us, what do you want to call it, customer-centric.
Very good.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, before you ask a question, I do want to apologize to all my friends out there who are doing cut vinyl for my weeding joke. I'm sure you all groaned. So
that's something also along the way. We decided customers had needs, and that's how we create products. So we created this whole new category of CAD cut materials. Now they call them HTV vinyls or something. And trying to help people understand that they need those, help our staff understand they're going to have to learn how to operate cutters, and that led to a whole software thing called CADWorks Live. But trying to help people, and I remember standing at shows, and you might have a signed customer that had a machine. Why do I want to get into T-shirts? It was uphill, but again, sampling and more sampling. And slowly but surely, it's grown into going to one of our distribution buildings, which we'll talk a little bit about later, I think. And it's to see 40-foot-high racks filled with materials over 60,000 square feet. It's really, when you look at how it started and how hard it was to get started, like everything that you try, it's quite humbling. And I still, to this day, have a hard time believing, you know, the whole thing. You had asked also, I think, in your induction, some of the good things and some of the bad things. And I was trying to, I think really when you say bad, they're just opportunities in disguise. But had all kinds of things happen from did launch the Hotronics heat press. Again, it was customer driven. Our thermal film was a low melt, very thin. It needed even temperature and even pressure. And machines at that time didn't have that. We approached several of the manufacturers, and they said they didn't really want to. So we sort of on our own decided we had to create our own press, heat press. And there were a lot of trials and tribulations through that, through learning how to what the art of casting aluminum castings were, and circuit boards, and just a madrid of other things. But I remember it was quite a rough go. And I remember one of the staff members, when I went down to speak to him, putting a little lump on a board that here's us and here's the competition. This is where we want to be. Name was Shirley. And she said, "What are you, an incurable optimist?" I've stuck with me forever since then. And we stuck with it, and we persevered. And today, Hotronics is the largest selling machine in the world. And we learned a lot through it all, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And rewarding.
Definitely. Definitely.
Some of the other things, talked about the booth, but when you when I blew up a flock range once trying to invent a thin film and ran it, it stopped, unfortunately, and it was a solvent base, and it just blew up and threw me about 10 feet against a wall. That was
interesting. Oh, gosh.
But I don't know what, when we look back at things, what's a bad experience. They're all just experiences that sort of add up to creating more opportunities.
Yeah.
But it's really all the people we've met along the way. And it's really our staff, our customers, as I said in the beginning. And I'd have to thank Custom Inc. for driving the industry and creating more demand and keeping their prices up and helping, teaching other people they can charge money for shirts that they make. Their time isn't free.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect.
They've, with their TV ads everywhere, they're creating more and more demand, also driving multicolor. I don't know if that answered your question, but
yeah, I think you covered it. That's some really great insight, and we love hearing about the journey and different things along the way. The stories about the shoes and the trade show and those are all I enjoy the heck out of things like that. And so, Ted, one other thing that I've been following that you've been doing, and I'm not sure exactly how long, so maybe you can help us with that too. But you've got your Great Race, and I've just always been intrigued with that. So can you tell us a little bit about that program and what that's all about?
Our family has always liked cars and always wanted to get into the Great Race. Didn't really understand what it is, but it's every year it goes from a different point to a different point. One year we went along the Route 66. Last year we went from Jacksonville, Florida, up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, down to Traverse City. And it's a timed race where you have to go through 8 to 11 checkpoints a day after making all kinds of turns, time changes at stop signs, and we're always going 5 miles slower than whatever the speed limit is. So if you have to make up time, you can just add a little 10%, and you can make up that time. But you have to calculate how much time you lose on each turn, how much time when you get stuck behind a school bus, or one time there's a checkpoint and a police car stopped right in front of us, and got up to it, and I really didn't thought he was going to move, but he didn't. But you got to make up that time or put in a time delay. And it's really hard on the cars, and they're all over 30 years old. So there's a lot of, and it's an advantage to have an older car. You get a better handicap. And there's 1914 Peerlesses, 1916 Hudsons, all kinds of older cars. And it's through all the stops and turns and all the rest of it, and rain and whatever comes. And you're not on the major highways. You're on, I don't know how they find the roads, but you're given instructions in the morning, 30 minutes before you leave. And the cars, there's 130 of them, leave every minute. You really shouldn't see the car in front of you or the car behind you. If they pass you, you know you got a problem. So you get to the end of the day, and award you stickers for aces if you got zeros. We went a couple years before we ever got one. But since that time, our sons, I've been in one car, another son and a friend, and another 1932 Ford Speedster, painted up the stars and stripes. It was on a couple months ago. It was on the cover of Hemmings. So, and it's a great group of people, and because you're not racing against them, you're just racing against your own clock and time. If you have a problem, you open up your hood, and there'll be 30 people there trying to help. That's a good thing and a bad thing, and 30 opinions. But right. So we have a lot of fun of it. Last year, we raised about $60,000 for autism. It's a great opportunity for my wife and myself. I think the first year we started, and you think you were getting a little bit anxious or something, and she looked at me and said, "It's just a game." It reminded me. It calmed everything down, and it's truly something we look forward to each year. And this coming year, there's two daughters that want to be in, each in their own car. Two daughters in one car, another daughter in another car. So it's quite a family event.
It sounds like it. You know,
repairing the cars is a whole nother thing in itself, and getting them so that they don't vapor lock and all that stuff is an art.
When you said that your wife said it's just a game, it reminded me that I often tell students in my seminars that, hey, it's just a T-shirt, nobody dies. But then you tell the story about being thrown across the room with the flocking machine, and you might be the only person who came close to that.
that was January 2nd, the only day that they. January 1st, excuse me, and it was the only day the range was not being used, and I'm sure they weren't happy with us, but it wakes you up.
And Ted, I wanted to jump to the industry a little more, and can you give us a little bit of your insight into innovation in general? If you had your crystal ball in front of you, what do you think we might be expecting in the future?
The word crystal ball is something I usually ask everybody I come into. What does your crystal ball say coming up? But I think that there's just opportunity after opportunity coming, but it's all being, a lot of them are being driven by the technology and fabrics, the synthetics and the dye migration. And it's leading to what we like to call, and I mentioned it before to you guys, the great cool down. And the cool down is going to be in ovens, in inks, in plastisols, and it's going to be coming out with a lot of newer water-based products, acrylics. We're going to see that in the UV-driven DTG machines in the future. It's going to be driving a lot of different things like that. When I said water-based, why water-based? Water-based has been a dream of ours for quite a few years. I saw some a long time ago in Amsterdam, and the stretch on it, and it was just a very interesting product. Sustainable products. There's an article in Counselor magazine where they had said that in their survey, 60% of the people were willing to pay more, for a sustainable product. So I think we're going to see more of that. I think everybody, including designs, as I said, we talk about custom ink, the demand for multicolor, the demand for not just center-centric designs, but fashion designs that are at the sides, the desire for three-dimensional graphics. We see that in Under Armour and several other different areas. I see the return of Flock, which I've always liked. It's just it's another place where we just have to educate people that, yes, it works, it's luxurious, and it gives you dimension. What else?
I think you've covered some pretty good ground there, Ted. I think everybody's trying to take that all in at this point. So let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to just keep this moving forward because there's some other things I want to talk to you about. When we sat down at SGIA, the first thing you said to me is, are you ready to have your mind blown? And it just really stood out to me. And you were definitely not kidding. I was super impressed, still tugging and stretching on the things you gave me to go home with. And tell our listeners what you guys have been working on when it comes to dye migration.
Dye migration has been a problem that's been around, as I said before, for well over 30 years and previous bowling shirts and things like that. But with the jerseys and the shirts and the athleisure wear that people are coming out with, the manufacturers are, they're just getting harder and harder to print on. And traditional fabric or traditional methods just have a tendency to bleed through. So some time ago, I saw water-based in Europe in Amsterdam. And we found that down. It didn't quite work. But since that time, our chemist and Europe and the U.S. have been working on something. And a gentleman, one of their advisors, had developed a water-based, that not only water-based, but that stretched. And it also stuck to a majority of fabrics, including the soccer uniforms they wear in Europe. People want soft, so it doesn't encumber anything, but we created something that we don't really believe, but we've tested it. We've been selling it in small quantities to some manufacturers. They've been testing it, and we've washed many of them up to 125 times, and can be applied at under 270. It can go down to 250 if you raise the dwell time a little bit. But really, in many ways, that along with a silicone product, I believe we're the only ones in the world, have as a CAD cup material. It stretches, and silicone is pretty impervious to dye migration. It's soft. It doesn't have quite the same stretch, but it has stretch to it. So it's we introduced that at the show there also.
So, Ted, I imagine that's going to come with a lot of education because, you know, like most products, somebody buys it and says, okay, well, it's vinyl, so I'm gonna heat set it at XYZ temperature. So I'm sure there's a big warning saying, okay, this is how to use this product.
You can't apply on these fabrics today, and neither do you have to. People have this impression that more is better, and in any recipe, you can overcook anything, and it dries the softeners out, and it's not good for a lot of the products. And one way to cure that is to use bottom heat, and I had showed you that also at the show, the machine there that has the bottom heat on it.
I know you guys were very excited about that. So tell us a little bit about that product. And I believe that is a retrofit as well, correct?
True. To any of our machines in a Fusion line that don't pull out, any of them that have where you have an interchangeable flattened on it, there's a fixture and you can just set this in. It's a separate controller. And we have a black static eliminator cover on it. And you have to plug it in, not to the same circuit, but because you got two heaters going, you have to have a different circuit or at least a 25-amp circuit. But it allows you to lower the temperature on the top and raise the temperature on the bottom so you eliminate the scorch marks, one. But two, it increases the application time. In today's world, larger manufacturers talk in times of seconds, not minutes. And anything you can do to increase that is to their benefit. Seems that everybody at the show that saw that and was limited, it was upstairs, bought one, and that'll be coming out in November.
And Ted, I don't think we ask about the low temperature vinyl as well. Is that available now, or when will it be available?
The silicone is available
the
now.
Silicone, I'm sorry, yes. Oh, it is available now? Okay, very good.
Yeah. In fact, we've had it for 2 years. Market wasn't quite ready yet, though.
Very good.
Anyway, like I said, business our business, the decorating business, is just filled with all kinds of opportunities, but trying to help people and customers understand that they're going to have to make some changes. And it's not the world of one temperature, one application time fits all. And I think I showed you also a shirt that was put out by I forget which company, but it says do not print on it. And
that's right.
Yep.
That's what manufacturers are doing, but we have to, as decorators, we have to find ways to be able to decorate those and put our numbers or logos or whatever it is on those.
Yeah, we did get a kick out of that, you having that shirt that was printed all over and with the label that said, do not print. So that is our industry, isn't it?
And very unfortunately, I don't understand I guess it's about price, and I guess a lot of those come from Thailand and various places over there where it's strictly how fast can they make them and how cheap can they make them. Yet the technical aspects of fabrics, when you have wicking and all of those things, are beautiful, and that's what people want. And I think we as decorators and manufacturers have to find ways to help our customers understand and decorate them that cotton has a nice feel. But in places I've been recently in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Hershey, at car shows and car, what do they call it, a flea market, such as 9,000 exhibitors, watching what people were wearing, even there, and there's a lot of decorated T-shirts with cotton and automobile insignias on them. But at the same time, you look at the other people, and there's just huge numbers of people wearing synthetic fabrics. So it's time that we figure out ways to be able to easily decorate them profitably. So I think that puts a lot of pressure on everybody in the industry.
Right. Well, you know, Ted, you were talking to us in our meeting at SGIA, and we certainly appreciate you inviting the two regular guys to that meeting. And you were talking about tripling your capacity. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, indeedy. Again, it's just amazing. I had said that I'm at awe about what's happened to the material CAD cut and it's what's happening with that and the demand for glitter, the demand for texture, those various demands. We currently have a distribution center in Michigan that's 60,000 square feet, and it's been too small for a while. We've obtained an additional 140,000 square feet to help take some of the pressure off that, along with our regional distribution centers in Arizona and Texas, and we're planning some others. It's, Amazon sets the pace when people want it now, and they aren't going to wait, so you got to be where they are. So we're sort of taking a book out of their playbook or page. At the same time, screen printers and large manufacturers and even a lot of the replica professional league uniforms are using transfers and finding that in many cases it's a lot faster, particularly for short runs, than screen printing. And it's been putting a lot of pressure on increased transfers, particularly as the variations and the temperatures and stretch and number of other characteristics come in there. So our Transfer Express in Mender, Ohio, we put an addition on it a couple of years ago. We have since added an additional facility in Arizona. and also in California. And it's, but we are still looking at, with the water-based, I think that's a whole demand on top of that. And we're looking at a couple different cities potentially for that. And it's the people that see it, want it. They don't, it's a little more expensive than other things, but it's so versatile that people, those that are using it, see that the customers are going to be demanding it in the near future.
Yeah.
In addition to that, the tripling capacity, our Hydronics, we put a new building up there that doubled it 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and the demand for heat presses sort of leads the market for all of heat printing, and the demand is doing nothing but just going, I won't say straight up, but it's amazing also. I mean, it's just a wonderful time in the whole decorating business when you have so many options, and we happen to be a few of them. Same with the DTGs. Those are, look, I think Brother introduced there a new press that is a lot faster, and I think they're going to have a lot of success with that. Also, they use Hydronics to cure the machines. They also have prints afterwards.
Nice.
But
okay.
How long? I think, and this isn't just isolated to the U.S. The CAD cut, the heat printing in Mexico, South America. CAD cut at this moment is used from Thailand to Russia, and hope that we can keep that going like that. So,
awesome.
Anyway, that's what we talk about capacity. It's only driven by demand, so and trying to satisfy the customers.
Absolutely. So, Ted, this has been awesome, and just a great look into what's going on with your company and the industry in general, and innovation. We could go on and on, and we'd love to have you back in the future. But maybe kind of to wrap us up here, can you tell our listeners maybe where they can find some more information about the things that we've discussed here? I know some of your team has shared a blog post with me too, but anything that you want to kind of share with people to close up today?
Yeah, for quite some years I've had a daily, if you want to call it blog, but it's just tedstahl.com. And whatever, I'm usually ahead of the market on the predictions there, but a lot of about me on tractors or our family on tractors, a lot about our family, and a lot about that you can follow. That's the great race on there when we're on that. But it's just tedstahl.com, and I believe there's information about the heat plant and the Aqua True that can lead you in the right direction. But I'd just like to say that we've been very blessed with phenomenal customers and phenomenal people on our team, and that's really been the foundation of our success. And if you attend one of our training programs, or you saw in the video there, we look for people that can think and make decisions, and try and reward those in every way we can. But we have a lot of fun, and we don't have squirt gun fights anymore. We're too dispersed, but we have that done.
Nice. Excellent. Well, that's fantastic, Ted. Thank you so much for your time today, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Okay, we have been honored, and I think that your guys add a real contribution to the industry. So thank you.
You're very
Fantastic.
Welcome. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Well, that was a great interview. I love talking to Ted, and I'd love to hear about innovation. And you know, Aaron, I especially love to hear stories about people's success and maybe some stumbling along the way to find that success. And again, I'm going to apologize about Ted deciding that, hey, vinyl is a good idea, but from he and his brother weeding the garden. So.
You're going to let yourself off the hook on that one, Terry. We all make
mistakes.
I am.
No, well,
it was great talking to Ted. I always love hearing from him. You know, everybody kind of, I don't know. I guess the thing that really stands out to me is that, you know, it's, you look at the success that Stahls has had, but then listen to the story. You know, it's been hard work. It's not overnight success. You know,
exactly.
I always talk to these new businesses that show up and, you know, have been working at their social media for 3 whole weeks and can't understand why they don't have a bazillion followers. And it's like, you know, 85 years of hard work is what it's taken to get to this point. So, you know,
I want to do the dollar deposit on a heat press at the next trade show next week. I'm going to go by the Stahls booth and see if they'll do that for me.
That'll be great. Yeah, perfect. Hey, real quick, one other thing, Terry, before we continue on here, I did want to share with the listeners, you know, Ted's blog is fantastic. And so if you're not already subscribed to that, definitely subscribe to that. Also, if you go to blog.stahls.com/innovations, there's some more rundown of a lot of the things that we talked about on the show there too. So we'll have links to all that in our show notes once I get that up over the weekend. But Terry, let's quickly hear a word from Equipment Zone, and then we'll dive back into a couple other things here.
Our show today is sponsored by Equipment Zone. Go to EquipmentZone.com for the Epson F2000 direct-to-garment printer. Equipment Zone is the only Epson reseller who sends a technician to every customer location for training. This is an absolutely free visit to your location. Equipment Zone is also the manufacturer of the number one pre-treat machine in the industry, the Speed Treater TX. With no compressor and no special tanks, the Speed Treater TX is the easiest and most consistent pre-treat machine available worldwide. Go to EquipmentZone.com for the Epson F2000, the Speed Treater TX, and for all your DTG inks and supplies. That's EquipmentZone.com. That's EquipmentZone.com.
I just want to remind everybody that Equipment Zone, our longest sponsor of the show, does have all the inks and supplies, including printhead cleaning kits, in stock. I know I see a lot of questions on the internet looking for those kind of things, and Equipment Zone has a huge inventory of those products. And next thing, Aaron, we want to welcome in to the show our good friend Jimmy Lamb from Sawgrass.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey Jimmy.
Hey Jimmy.
You know, I got to say something here. Let me say something real quick to get started, okay? I love listening to you guys on the air because, you know, you almost sound professional when you're on the air, and it's pretty impressive. So, there. But
all right.
I will follow all you. Right. You do have a great show. And, you know what, it's evidenced by having great people in our industry like Ted Stahls. I mean, to me, he's almost legendary because I wasn't here when the company started. Okay, so I don't want to hear any age thing, but I've been in the industry a long time, and I've seen, you know, the Stahls impact and the growth, and it's just like you said, it's great to hear from Ted, hear what he has to say, and I'm just always in awe of the guy. I just think he's great. So you did great having him on today.
Good. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we enjoyed talking to Ted and agree with your sentiment wholeheartedly. But Jimmy, we've got you here today because you're out doing something a little bit different. I mean, probably not a lot of people have heard about it. So tell us where you're at right now.
I'm still at a bar in New Orleans. I forgot to go home after SBA. So actually, where I am is I'm in a little place called Oak, Pennsylvania, and no one knows where that is, including me. But it's near Valley Forge, and the reason I'm here is the East Coast Awards and Personalization Expo, which is taking place in the Greater Philadelphia Exhibition Center. Boy, that's a mouthful. And yeah, we're, you know, it's just west of Pennsylvania. It's in Pennsylvania. It's west of Philly. So it's a 2-day show, and you know, the Awards and Personalization Association, that they put on this tremendous international show every year in Vegas in February or March, and then they'll have a regional show, or maybe more than one, sometime later during the year somewhere else, and typically on the East Coast. So that is where I am today, and let me tell you, it's picking up. I mean, today's the first day, and you are starting to get crowded in here. Got a lot of exhibitors. If you have any interest whatsoever in engraving, awards, maybe signage, you know, there's a lot of people here that can help you out. And I've seen some pretty cool products, some really cool products that I want to share with you, if that's all right.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, let us know.
Okay. And I'm going to go from a sublimation angle here to start with. The very first thing I stumbled across was JDS Industries, who's here exhibiting, and they got a new product called SubVat. And SubVat's pretty darn cool. It's basically a film that you can apply to products such as wood, ceramic, glass, stone, and you apply this film and it becomes permanent, and it becomes a polymer base for you to add sublimation to. So example, let's say you went down to Home Depot and you bought a piece of wood you wanted to sublimate. You can take this film and apply it to the wood, and then you're sublimating onto that film. So it's essentially you're making your own coating. And Sean Rohde over here has been demonstrating it to me, done some really cool stuff with it, and pretty amazing product. And this is the first I've seen it. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, that's one of the big questions in sub world. Can I do my own coatings? And as we all know, trying to put a coating on something is not a simple process. You don't buy a can of polyurethane and paint it on there. You know, that's not how it works. So looks like a really exciting new product. And again, that's JDS Industries carrying that SubVat. So I'm not getting paid for an endorsement. I've never used it. I'll tell you that. But I did see it. I thought it was worth relaying it to people. You know,
Jimmy, you're not being paid for this show either. I just want to make you aware.
Yeah,
of that.
Really? Wait a minute. That's not in my contract. Okay.
You missed the fine print.
Yeah, I missed the fine print. That's okay. You know what? I told you, it's so hard to get on your show that when I get invited in, it's just like a momentum. So, the second thing I've been looking at here, and I first became aware of it too during the SGIA show, and that is a product from Johnson Plastics Plus called ColorTuff, and basically it's a coated metal for sublimation, but it has a high resistance to UV, so it makes great outdoor signage, and I actually have sublimated on that, and the results are really good, and they have some pretty good claims on the level of resistance or UV. Now, I can't substantiate that because, you know, I'd have to put something out in the sunlight for a couple of years, you know, to make sure, right? And I just saw it recently. So, but anyway, that's the fun thing about testing UV, right? Is like, oh, this could last 10 years, right? And I'm not saying that one does. Well, now you got to go put it outside for 10 years and make sure it does. You know, about 10 years from now, it's obsolete. So I don't know. But anyway, that's a pretty cool product. So a lot of questions, you know, in the sub world. We want to do more outdoor signage. What can we do? And I will also tell everyone, if you're interested in outdoor sublimation, okay, just stay tuned to your different media sources within the industry. You know, going after the first of the year, I know there's several different things in development around the country. Just keep your eyes and ears open. I think we're going to see more products coming out, you know, in that area. I should mention, too, that Stahls is here. Okay. Ted's not, but Stahls is here. Okay. So if you wanted to follow up with some of the things Ted talked about, he can come on out of the show. You might be able to do that, you know, with their group.
All right.
And, of course, the final thing is I have a seminar at 1 o'clock. So if you're anywhere nearby, dash over here. I have a seminar at 1 o'clock about taking your business mobile, any kind of business, to be honest. I mean, That's a great subject. About club and digital, but it's any business. I mean, just like with stalls, I mean, you can get a heat press, take product with you, go and do stuff on site. So that's what we're going to be talking about at 1 o'clock today here at the.
Jimmy, that's the personalization. Something that Ted mentioned and we've been talking about here on the show for forever is, you know, Amazon and immediacy and I want it right now and you know, going mobile with your business is one of the ways to do that. So that's a great subject.
Yep.
We'll have to have you back on the show and talk about that at some point in time.
Yep, absolutely. And I want to add one last comment. You know how long-winded I am, sorry. Ted was making some really good points about different fabrics and all. And one of the things, especially with sublimation, is that we find that in most cases we're adapting decoration process to the garment instead of the garment being adapted to the decoration process. And that definitely can make for a challenge because every garment, every manufacturer, every fabric can be different. I mean, we've even found that just because it's 100% polyester does not mean it will sublimate well. And that's an important thing to understand. People don't always understand that, you know, and it's the same thing. If you're using a pigment ink for cotton, you may find a cotton product where it doesn't work well, you know, and it's because there's a lot of other things that go into the manufacture besides just the fiber content that can have an impact on the decoration process. So we really need is more of our apparel manufacturers to see the value of maybe adapting some of their manufacturing processes to be more friendly to apparel decoration, you know, because we do move a lot of products with decoration if you look at our total industry.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. All right, Jimmy. Well, so you've kind of told us where you're at and what you're doing today. Again, one more time, what's the show again?
We are at the East Coast Awards and Personalization Expo in Oaks, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia.
All right, good. Well, make sure if you're in that area, get over there. 1 o'clock for Jimmy's seminar should be a good one. But Jimmy, the other thing I wanted to chat with you about is Terry's going to be traveling next week, and I've pinged you to be my co-host next week. And from what I can tell, you said yes. So now I'm putting you on the spot. Will you be joining me next week?
Yes.
Okay, good.
As soon as my paycheck arrives.
Yes.
As soon as the paycheck clears the bank.
I was going to say, was that a one-word answer from Jimmy Lamb? Jimmy, let me jump back to your show real quick.
I continued.
There you go. What kind of attendance do you have there at the show? You have a guesstimate about how many people are there?
I really couldn't tell you. I'm sitting over here in the back corner looking around, but, you know, it's not a huge show, but it's a pretty decent-sized show if you have an interest in, you know, engraving and awards and that type of thing. I expect there's going to be several hundred people go through here today easily.
Sweet.
Excellent. All right. Well, Jimmy, next week we're going to be we'll come up with some things to talk about, and you can share a little bit of what you've shared in your mobile seminar. Actually, it would be a good point. But the big thing we want to do next week is we want to announce the Reggie Award categories, and we're making a few tweaks. We're making a few tweaks this year, so it's going to be the same, but a couple of new tweaks to the Reggies this year. But between now and then, we'd love for the listeners to send us their recommendations for awards they'd like to see. You know, Jimmy, if you have any suggestions, we'll even listen to you too. So,
is there one for most long-winded?
Well, you and Terry can point that one out.
Best guest on Two Regular Guys. But if anybody's interested in seeing what the categories are in previous years, you can go to our website, and there's a tab for Reggies. And, of course, the Reggies stand for the Two Regular Guy Awards. And it's our fifth year, Aaron.
Yeah, fifth year. And so we're going to be announcing those next week, and Jimmy's going to help me with that. But it'll be a great show. So thanks for the support there, Jimmy. And we'll let you get back to the show there, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up for the day.
Cool. Thanks, everybody. Glad to be here and look forward to next week.
All right, Terry. So we've got that all scheduled and in the books. So excited to have Jimmy on. We'll let you jump in early, but you'll be on a trade show floor, so probably can't keep you too long. But
I'll be that guy I'll be that guy broadcasting with the echo and the chatter in the background.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Terry. Well, let's get to five things. Want to make sure that we all try to get to that as often as we can. And you've got it this week, so you're on.
I do indeed, and thanks everyone for hanging around for a little bonus time. My five things are five things to think about when you consider buying a used direct-to-garment machine. Number one, it's very likely all warranty and support is non-transferable, even if the seller says the machine's under warranty. Number two, if someone is selling the machine, it probably hasn't been used for a while, so usually the printheads are clogged on these used machines. Number three, find out from someone other than the seller if printheads and parts are still available for that machine, especially the machines that are repurposed paper printers. On older machines, this is number four, on older machines, there will likely be no software upgrades. So you may have to use an older version of your operating system, a Windows 7, for example. Number five, make all your calls about inks and supplies and parts before you purchase the machine. We get those calls all the time about folks who bought a machine and then they go out and try to get parts and supplies. So those are my five things, Aaron.
Awesome. Great five things. We'll get that posted up on the Facebook page. And again, head over to our Facebook page and into the photos section there. We got a whole album of the five things that we've done all year this year. And feel free to take and grab those infographics and share them out there. And, you know, it's about getting the conversation started. So make sure you're part of that conversation. Terry, before another quick, we've got jam-packed today. So last week we had Marshall Atkinson of Inksoft on the show, and he was kind enough to give us some tickets to give away, and we do want to announce the winner, and we'll be reaching out to him directly via the social media channels that we heard from him on. But Randy Transu is the winner of two tickets to the Max Profit event out in Tempe, Arizona, November 10th, I believe that is. Yep, November 10th. Is that right?
Fantastic.
Or 11th. Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations,
Randy. Congratulations to Randy. We'll be in touch with him. There are a couple other tickets that are floating around that have our name on them. So if you are interested, just email marshall@inksoft.com and tell Marshall that you heard about them through the two regular guys, and he'll hook you up with tickets to the event in Tempe, Arizona there. So, looking forward to hearing everybody's feedback after that event happens. I wish I could make it out. I'm going to be in Arizona a couple weeks too early. I'll actually be there next week. So I'll be in Arizona while you're in Charlotte, Terry.
There you go. as per usual.
yep. Chasing each other across the country. All right. Well, speaking of being in Charlotte, tell us about what you got coming up here, Terry.
Absolutely. I'm going to be presenting along with Equipment Zone and the Epson staff. The free all-day Epson F2000 class in Charlotte. That's going to be on October 25th before the NBM show, and you can sign up for that at thenbmshow.com. My complete screen printing business course. I've got two more upcoming Workhorse products. I'm going to be in Phoenix November 4th and 5th, and a great time to be traveling to Phoenix. That class is filling up. Workhorse, by the way, has a discount rate at a resort that's just minutes away from their location, and they're also minutes away from the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. I've got a class at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago, November 11th and 12th. I have to tell you, though, that event is now sold out, so most of those classes do sell out, so you have to sign up early. And Aaron, you have anything coming up?
Not a ton of travel for business. Like I said, I'm going to be heading out to Arizona, but just for family this time. So looking forward to seeing everybody. Just a quick note here, Terry, Marshall Atkinson in the chat did say that Terry should come to the Max Profit event since you do live there. And
I've got to check my schedule because I'm leaving for Chicago that day as well. So.
All right. Well, he said it's free for you, which is a price that you should like. So
I heard there's food as well. So.
Food as well. So pressure's on there, dude. Full report. You better take your recorder and get some interviews there.
Very good.
Awesome. Well, we already talked about next week's show. We're going to be announcing the Reggies with Jimmy Lamb as the guest host. And so we're excited to have Jimmy on. And don't worry, Terry, your spot will still be open, and we'll get you in early. But we want to let you get back to the trade show floor. But speaking of trade shows, Terry, just again, real quick rundown of what's upcoming there for us.
Sure, absolutely. We're going to get the 2018 list going here pretty quick. But the last regular garment trade show, the NBM Charlotte, is going to be next week, October 26th through 28th. And then, Aaron, you and I are going to be at ThreadX, powered by SGIA in Palm Springs, California. That's going to be February 25th through 27th. Really excited about that event. And I think you're going to fly out, and you and I are going to drive to Palm Springs because it's not very far from Phoenix, and looking forward to doing that. And beyond that, Aaron,
guys, road trip.
I know. It should be fun, and maybe we'll do some recordings in transit.
Yeah, recordings in transit. Heck, maybe we'll even do the show. It'll kind of be like that sing-along karaoke deal that they do. something
exactly.
Like that. But we won't be doing any singing, I promise.
Absolutely.
Well, Terry, fantastic show today. Thanks so much to Ted Stahl for coming on the show today. Again, check out his blog at tedstahl.com. It's TEDSTAHL.com. And also thanks to Jimmy Lamb for taking a little time out to join us today, and looking forward to talking to him next week. And last but not least, thanks to Marshall Atkinson and the crew over at Inksoft for giving us the opportunity to give away some tickets, and looking forward to hearing all about their event that they've got coming up November 10th. And Terry, good job by you too. So have a great week.
You as well, Aaron. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.